So this is from Matthew 13. I've titled this talk, just a generous, even reckless sower and prepared hearts. So this is the first part of Matthew 13. That day, Jesus went out of the house and sat by the lake. Such large crowds gathered around him that he got into a boat and sat in it, while all the people stood on the shore. Then he told them many things in parables, saying, a farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell among the path, and the birds came and ate it. Some fell on rocky paths, where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came out, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no roots. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 100, 60, and 30 times what was sown. Whoever has ears, let him hear. So I thought I'd begin this talk just by giving a brief update, but then pairing it in with what my wife and I have been able to see the last little bit. Many of you guys know I've been around with the Creative Way Down and been actually up here before, but we had a little son named Titus. Recently, this has been a pretty hard year. The beginning of the year started with him having between like 10 to 20 seizures a day. And so we had gone and we had gone to the hospital. We had, were getting just amazing treatment from our local hospital here, but nothing was really helping Titus. At one point, someone had asked, how are you doing? I said, I'm really like worn down. I'm tired. And it's helpless. For those of you who are fathers or even parents or those who are not, you kind of understand, like, when you watch a child, like this innocent little one, going through these hard things and you can't do anything besides prayer and kind of be there. And I was reminded of a scripture from Matthew 11. As soon as I said worn, I'm like worn, it was like for all those who are like tired and weary, like, here's Jesus inviting them to come to him. And then through a series of events, just April and I and Titus got to go away. While we were away, it wasn't anything like dramatic. It was just one morning in devotions. Felt just the prompting from the word of God through his spirit, and just felt like, oh, we're supposed to actually have faith that he can be healed. The doctors had said, there's not much more we can do on our side. And that morning, he had had his seizures, and we had this time of prayer, and we just believed, and we're kind of like, okay, God, like, we went about our day. And by the end of the day, April and I looked at each other, and we're like, did you notice anything? And Titus hadn't had any seizures that day, and we're like, that was weird. Okay, look, we'll see tomorrow. Well, now, 4 months later, Titus hasn't had any seizures. And we've got to, when we went to the hospital, they're kind of asking, they're like, maybe it was that last drug, or maybe, and we've actually been able to testify, saying, actually, we, like, you guys have done so much, and we're so thankful for it. We also have congregations, we have groups of people who have been praying specifically for Titus's healing. And we've been able to share that with them, and them going, keep it up? Like, great. Like, and but it's been beautiful, because from that experience then, I've gone into other meetings, and I'm working, I'm in meetings, and I'm like, okay, God, like, in this moment, I'm getting asked questions, and then I'm like, what do I need to know? What should I share? And all what comes to mind is like, isn't it great that Titus is healed? And I'm like, I don't know how that fits right now in this board meeting. Like, what? But it keeps coming up. And as I've pulled myself back, I've been able to see, like, oh, the kingdom of God was advancing in Titus. We've got to be a part of that. And so then I started leaning into that, going, okay, you are the provider, you are the healer, you are the sustainer of life. So then how does that change my perspective right now? And it was about a month ago, I was in Ontario, and that idea of healer was coming to mind. And we ended up seeing God heal this person that had suffered for 33 years from arthritis, and like healed, delivered and healed of this disease that she had. And then it's been neat because I've been hearing, it went from Titus being healed to suddenly other people being healed. And now I've been connecting and coaching people, and we've been seeing them praying, and now they're seeing people walk into new freedom in Christ. And when I was thinking of this parable, I was seeing like that part of like the 10 to 60, like to 30, like this reproducing, this multiplication. God, what does that look like in our day? And he kept bringing this story of Titus to mind. And so you guys have all played a part in that. And I wanted to say thank you. Thank you for your prayers. Thank you for being faithful in your prayers. And that's why I wanted to start with prayer, because you are a praying people. And I wanted to dive into this passage today. When we look at this passage, of course, I just read the first part and Jesus goes on to explain it. But I wanted to highlight kind of three things, but I'm going to start with the context of this. Because we can go into parables and we understand that Jesus explains this. Like, parables actually show the reality of God's point of view. It helps pull us out of our perspective and then get actually a bigger perspective. And in the context of this passage that I read today, we see a number of things. We see these people who are gathered, these people who are longing, they're wanting more, but then Jesus gives this parable. And so to understand this parable, I want to just rewind back really quickly to like the beginning. And Jesus, of course, is teaching people, and it's not just for us to take a passage and go, how do I put this into my day today? But it's like, what were the people hearing when Jesus spoke this parable? If we were to put our like feet in their shoes, like what were they experiencing? What were they longing for in that? And so throughout the Old Testament, again, I'll go real quick here, it's this powerful story of God's love and God's grace. God chooses Israel to be his covenant people, a community that's supposed to reflect his character to the world around them. They are to be his witnesses. He delivers them literally from slavery. He provides for them. He invites them into this relationship that's marked by his presence, his love, and purpose. His desire was for Israel to be a light among the nations and to show actually God's mercy, his justice, and his faithfulness. Like, isn't that amazing? And just like Israel, we kind of are the same way. That's what we're invited into. But just as Israel did, but they disobeyed. They doubted God and they chose to worship other idols, which are connected to other small g gods. They decided to pursue the things of those what their neighbors had instead of actually displaying God's heart. At some points, they started going into a pattern where they would rebel, they would go into suffering, they would repent, they'd cry out, and of course, God would rescue them. He would be so gracious in rescuing them. God even gave them land, leaders, kings, all these things who desired his presence. And for a time, they would be doing really well, but then they would fall away again. And God, through their unfaithfulness, led them into exile. It ended up costing them their identity, their purpose, and their belonging that God had given them, had rightly given them as his people. Even after a time when they were released from exile, they went, they made a temple. They were like, oh, like, come dwell here. But it was never the same after that time. But God had still given them hope, saying, like, my law that I gave you, actually, it's going to dwell in you. And, like, one day, like, I'll return you to be my people. And then was silence. For 400 years, there was silence. There was no one to be God's spokesperson. There was no new words given to the people. And quietly in this silence, the Messiah was born to a virgin. Jesus, fully God, fully human, he lived a perfect life. He fulfilled the law, but in kind of quietness, not in the limelight, it was outside. But then through humility, he appeared, being led by God's Spirit, being full of authority. Jesus began to proclaim the coming of God's kingdom. He was healing the sick, he was casting out demons, and was revealing the heart of the Father to all who would hear. And so that's the preamble to this story. And even in this story of Matthew, it says that same day, Jesus, that same day that he gave these parables, already was dealing with being called, like, the devil. His family was like, okay, we have to get this guy, like, back. Like, hey, come with us. And he's like, actually, the people that hear and have ears to hear, they're my people now. They're my brothers. They're my sisters. And so all of this is happening. And then Jesus goes, and I think there's a picture of April in front of, maybe? Oh, there we are. So this is where this happens. So Jesus, imagine this massive crowd. Jesus is in this little bay on a boat, sitting there, and then he tells this story. Now, these people, when they were hearing this story, again, put ourselves in their place with that preamble, knowing their history. So there's a farmer who's sowing seeds. And these things, like, these were people that as soon as they would hear the word seed, they'd be going, wait, in the Hebrew Bible or in the Torah, that's like Genesis, from the woman's seed. Or they might think of Hosea, where they're going, oh, there's growth that's happening. Oh, God refers to us as the vine. So they're already putting things together. But as per usual, sorry, this is my son. He hears my voice. He's like, let's have a party. But I can hold him. It would probably be more entertaining. Yeah, that's my mom as well. But imagine what they're hearing. This sower takes this seed and is casting it. And think of, they're listening going like, okay, what do these things represent? And then even at the end where it says, where some other seed fell on good soil, like, okay, be thinking of that. And it produced a crop, 160-30. Like, that's kind of, I was curious. I'm no farmer, born in Burnaby. But like, a good seed, I found out, produces between 5 to 15 fold. A really good one, like the 10 like fold, would be a really good crop. Like, that's amazing crop. But here Jesus says like 160-30. Well, where's that coming from? And so these disciples, like, Jesus shares this thing, and then he at the very end, it's like, whoever has ears, like, let them hear. And the people might be going like, I've heard that as well. Where have we heard that before? So this happens. Jesus pulls away, and then later he kind of goes through and explains to his disciples why he gave a parable, which then he references that end part, for whoever hear, or whoever has ears, let him hear. That's from Isaiah 6. And he makes that reference saying, like, I'm telling these parables because most people, they're not going to hear. most people actually don't care about the understanding. They see this amazingness and they're just like, wow, that's cool, let's go there. But for those who want understanding, like they'll meditate on this. They'll pay attention. And so Jesus then goes on later on and says, listen then. So this is Jesus pulled away with his disciples and then goes on to tell the purpose. Listen then to what this parable, to what the parable of the sower means. When anyone hears the message about the kingdom and does not understand it, the evil one comes and snatches it away. What the sower, what has sowed in their heart. This is the seed sown along the path. The seed falls on rocky ground, refers to someone who hears the word and at once receives it with joy. But since they have no root, they last only a short time. When troubles or persecution comes because of the word, they quickly fall away. The seed falls among the thorns refers to someone who hears the word, but the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth chokes the word, making it unfruitful. But the seed falling on good soil refers to someone who hears the word and understands it. This is the one who produces a crop yielding 160 or 30 times what was sown. The first thing, and I'll just hit 3 points here. The thing that stood out for me when I was first reading it is the generosity of the sower. You can look at Psalms 150, where for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. You can look where Jesus says, like, the thief has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but I have come to give life and life to the full. And you see this sower who is so generous that he's throwing even when he knows it may not fall on good soil. Having been in other nations where when you get a crop of things, like you have to divide it for what's going to be sown the following year and then what's going to be feeding your family. And in this situation, here's this sower just being so generous. And when we think of this sower, I was reflecting on Jesus's life because Jesus is that perfect image bearer, perfect example for us. And the thing that kept coming to mind is like the principle, if we cling to things, then we lose them. But if we give, you gain. And that's the story, like we see that throughout Jesus. Jesus would say in Matthew 10, where he's like, freely you have received, freely now give. Or I've given you this command to love each other as I have loved you. And it was just a question that rose up in me where it's, and you guys can think about this, is how might you be more generous with the message of the kingdom? Like, here's God scattering these seeds, and like, we're invited into that same thing. And it kind of brought up in my mind, I have been here working with the Creative Way Down group, and we've been studying generosity, and I've seen that in you, just for the people that are here. I've seen you working through going, how can I be more generous with my life? We can often just think of money, but it's like with my time, with my love, with my house, with my table, how do I do this? My wife is so generous with her laughter and smile, where we had some people over this week, and like you could just see them like, oh, I can come into your house and I feel perfectly at home. And so how are we being generous sowers as well? The second part is just it, in verse 19, it says, to hear the message about the kingdom. And it just kind of brought, like, what is that good news that we bring? Like, Israel was invited to, like, receive God's love.
They were invited to live in new purpose and identity. They were invited to actually be as they are together, be a witness, and to actually be that place of peace, of justice, for all to see. And that is still true for us, his people today. How are we being the messengers of God's love to the people around us, to our neighbors? Do I know our neighbors? How are we actively living and being transformed as we are being led by Christ in a daily thing? The good news is about the hope, forgiveness, and transformation that comes through Jesus. Are we letting people see that? Cascades, you're all called, where it says in your website that you're all the sent out ones. And it's kind of funny because it's like, oh, you're all missionaries. Congratulations. But it doesn't mean that you're good ones. Hopefully, how do you become good ones? Well, a missionary is one who just like lives their life for Jesus. Like, it's they're willing to go into awkward places and be like, ha, like with humility and being like, I don't know it all, but I know who Jesus is and he's this good. And so when you think of this message that we bring, it really is God's love and redemption. Now I'll bring it to us, for us. It really is the good news, the new life in Jesus that we have, that we can say no to greed. We can say no to trying to cling to things ourselves and say, God, you've freely given this, so we give it back to you. That was part of our story with Titus. Lord, like we dedicate him to you. He is not ours, he's yours. We just get to steward and raise him. The community of belongings, these different things. And so as I was going through this part of C, the first one again, how can we be more generous with the message? The second question that I was asking was, how are you actively receiving, remembering, and responding to the good news of the kingdom daily? Again, our culture, those weeds are telling us, like, do what you want to do. It's about you. This is your day. Where we as his followers are saying, not my will, but your will. What do you want of this day? What do you want of my calendar? God, I have to work. How do you want to infuse yourself in that? What does that look like to work for your glory? Finally, the soil. Again, I'm breezing through a lot of this. We could go into the different soils, the three different types of like the devil, the flesh, and the world. John Mark Comer does a great book. Read that sometime. I know we have tons of leisure time. But that part for the good soil, here's Jesus. He uses this 10, and this got me right away. I'm like, why does he say 10, 60, 30? And if you have iPhones or commentary or anything, you just click and it shoots you back to Genesis 26, where here he's contrasting Israel, who had all this opportunity and kept kind of falling short, to Isaac. And it's a weird story because you read it and you're like, okay, here's God who literally reveals himself to Isaac and says, like, I'm going to provide for you. Don't go, like, move, like, stay here. I'm going to do everything, not only for you, but for your generations to come, because I made this promise to your people. And then Isaac, like the next verse, is afraid for his life. And then says, oh, this my beautiful wife, actually, she's my sister. And when people ask, and he's like, yeah. Then someone confronts him and is like, after he sees them playing, what I don't know what they're doing, but whatever they were doing, he's suddenly like, that's not your sister. Like, come on, you're lying to us. And he's like, I am lying. Like, I was afraid for my life. And it's this interesting thing, because right after he confesses, he repents, he tells the truth, then it says he goes and scatters seed, and it produces 100-fold. That's the only time in Scripture that 100-fold is mentioned. So Jesus is like doing this comparison through this parable, saying, there's Israel, you've seen this play out, but this moment of Isaac, who came, confessed, And look what I did with it. Like, I reinstated him that to the point where there, he had so much, like, of multiplication that, like, there was a change that happened after that. So this good soil, this ending that Jesus gives, like, the question that kept coming to mind was, like, how do I prepare my heart? How do we now prepare our hearts to be good soil? One is with humility. Psalm 25 says, he guides the humble in what is right and teaches them his ways. I was sitting there kind of going, so God, like, how do we practice humility? The prayer of Jesus came to mind, and I kind of quoted it earlier, like, not my will, but yours be done. This week, as you go into your week, most of us know that passage. We don't have to try to memorize it. Not my will, but your will be done. See how many times you might be able to meditate on that. When your kid is frustrating you, if you're at work and you feel anxiety like rising up, just in that moment, like, make a commitment right now. Lord, would you bring that to mind? Jesus was that perfect example of that. How do we, another area for good soil is like to hunger to know God. Well, how do we do that? Matthew 5 and 6, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, so because they will be filled. How do we actually make those moments? And I was thinking of this, April and I talked yesterday about like our calendar. The world around us says like you have to pack your calendar, like busyness is this thing. But like, what if you actually sat with your calendar and said like, Lord, this is yours. Like, I do have to work. I do have to parent. But what makes, like, what would actually help produce good fruit? What would make my heart good soil for you? One of the things that I've noticed when I've come and done teachings for different groups on evangelism, most people are like, I just never make time for this. It's like, you send people out and people come back with stories and they're like, I realized I just never make time to go out and actually look for those who are hungry, who are thirsty. And so maybe that might be your practice. One, you can quote the, not my will, but your will. Second, you can go through and do that. Other ones, like being helped by the Spirit, like having spiritual discernment. Others of obedience and fruitfulness, like how do we become good fruit? We simply obey. We're not just going from one Christian thing to another Christian thing to another Christian thing. You're practicing. Like, just say no to any other things and go, I'm gonna actually go and practice the word of God in my neighborhood. Like, oh, I'm gonna go and make time for the lost who don't know Jesus. And it's not just making, like, preaching at them, but it's actually, like, inviting them in, hearing their stories, being aware, oh, wait, God, just like with Israel, you wanted us to be aware of your presence. So can I be aware of your presence as I'm talking with a neighbor? Just very simple things that are hard because we're not used to them often. And faith. Faith is nurtured in community. I was trying to think of a practice, and Colossians 3, it says, like, let the word of God dwell in you richly as you teach and admonish one another. And I was thinking actually of Alex with this, because one way that I've been able to have to make sure that my heart is ready to, like, for good soil is just the practice of confession with someone else. I was chatting with someone else recently, and they were saying, like, there's a situation, and it could have been avoided if these people had actually allowed people to speak into their life. But to allow to speak in, you actually have to let people in. You have to be vulnerable to community. And so Alex and I, for some time now, we'll phone each other during the week, And we'll just like say like, hey, here's where I'm struggling. Like, we just let each other see kind of the ugliness of ourselves. Like, our wives could tell them, they're like, they see it all the time. But it's, but then Alex and I just confess it to one another, and we give permission to the other person to speak into it, going, am I missing anything here? I probably am, like, I've learned. But like, do you have that? It's hard, because you actually have to say to someone like, can we do this together? Can we be vulnerable together? Because I know ultimately it will actually benefit you and it will benefit me. And so with that, with these just simple practices, one, remember just that question, how can we be more generous with the kingdom seed that has been given? That idea of how do we actually take this seed, how do we think about it, how do we actually like apply it into our everyday, that good seed that he's thrown? And then also, how do we prepare our hearts? Whether it's through that just simple meditation that we can do, whether it's through looking at our calendar, saying, how do we make time for the lost? Or what I was just sharing, actually having vulnerable community around us. So those are a couple of the simple things. Part of what I've been doing for the last little bit, and Kevin, if you want to go to that last slide, is I've been working with a missions organization. And right now, next one after that, that is a good one, but I skipped over it, is we've been working on a project that goes through and just creates discipleship pathways, and we help people through it. So it could be like, hey, I'm stuck getting to know my neighbor, or I don't even know how to begin to pray. How do I do that? And we've just been doing, like, I've been working on a project with it. And if any of you want this week to take even just a couple of these steps, or if something just stood out to you and you're like, I would actually like to begin to multiply, how do I do that? I'd love, may not get the proper one, but anyway, you can talk to me after, or talk to Alex, and I'd be happy to walk you through what we've been doing and just help you to kind of walk in coaching and discipleship, but then be able then to take other people through it. That's kind of the whole purpose of the project we've been working on. So I'll close in prayer here, and then we can transition into the Lord's Supper. As we began, God, we just continue to be aware of your presence with us, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. And we just want to say thank you for this time. And Lord, just thank you for your word and how there's so many layers to it. Thank you that scripture is the best commentary that we could ever have for what you said, Jesus. And today, we just want to reflect that generous sower as we go and as we have time at the park. And we just ask and just that we would continue this week to have hearts that are prepared to receive your word with humility so that we might see your good seed grow and produce everlasting fruit in our homes, in our neighborhoods, in our workplaces. Pray these things in your name. Amen. All right. So,